Hello and welcome to the Anti Football Podcast. I am joined, as always, by Harry, and we have a lot of games to get through, don't we? I mean, up until end of the season, we're going to have, you know, quite a tight schedule.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened during coronavirus.
Exactly, yeah. Might as well get straight into it, you know, no pissing about. Jesus, Man U 3, Sheffield United 0. What the fuck happened here, Harry?
Martial decided to turn up, I guess. Mm. Sheffield United have absolutely capitulated after the break. They look a completely different side to the one where I was sort of saying that some of their lads should be getting in the England squad, obviously before the break. Mm. And now they've got three losses, most notably against Newcastle 3-0, back to back to back. So,
yeah, it's not a good look for them, ain't. I think everyone sort of underestimated how big of an influence that Jack O'Connell had in that Sheffield United defence, because it just looked completely different. I mean, obviously, you know, they were without Dean Henderson as well. Let's not forget that. But yeah, it just shows, you know, take out one or two key players, you know, and, you know, they just not, they don't even look half the team that they did earlier. I mean, you know, Chris Wilder, the system that Wilder has, it requires, you know, every player to do a job. And, you know, that's why, for example, when... who was it who got sent off against Newcastle?
John Egan,
yeah. When he got sent off, you know, they went out of 10 men. They capitulated because, you know, they had gaps. And it shows here, when they have, you know, squad options starting, they have gaps. So, yeah, that's somewhat that I think they need to look at in the summer window, especially if, you know, they do manage to qualify for Europe. That's something they're definitely going to have to invest in, is just depth. Because outside of that first team, there's not too many brilliant options, to be honest with you.
Mm, yeah. Just having a look at United scorers, their third top scorer is Greenwood.
Is it really? Mm, surprised
yeah.
That.
Yeah, so, I mean, they need to invest in goal-scoring midfielders, really, because Rashford, Greenwood and Martial are more wingers, and they can only do so much when going forward.
Well, I mean, they've got, if Pogba and Bruno can end up working together, you know, as well as they have done since the restart, you know, I don't think that's an issue. I mean, they've got two quality attacking midfielders there. You know, I think what they probably need more is more of a defined number nine, you know, someone who, you know, basically a poacher, you know, stays in and around 6 yard box to get onto, you know, the Bruno Fernandes balls, to get onto the, you know, the Rashford crosses, you know, someone who can just put his head on. Yeah, but do you really think Oji Ighalo is a Champions League quality?
No, he's not.
Exactly. Maybe he was, you know, 5 years ago at Watford. But...
Well, they didn't want him 5 years ago at Watford.
Well, no, but he was better at Watford then than he is now, you know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they could do with a more defined number nine, I'd say. I mean, the midfield three of Matic, Pogba and Bruno worked really well for him, you know.
I don't rate Matic. I think since he's left, pretty underwhelming.
Well, I would agree with you, but since the restart, he's actually looked pretty good sitting in front of the back four. When he was playing with, you know, the likes of Fred and, you know, McTominay, he wasn't looking right good, and Pereira. But, you know, when he's got Bruno and Pogba, you know, marauding forward, he can afford to sit back, absorb the pressure more, which is what he's best at, is just sitting in front of that back four. And I've been impressed with Matic post-restart.
I think United are yet to face a challenge since the restart, though, because Spurs are sort of around their level. I mean, sort of like, well, let's see who they've got coming up.
Well, the hardest game in the league is probably Leicester, to be honest with you. They don't, you know.
Yeah.
We've got Leicester, Chelsea in Cup, and then after season ends, they've got Europa League, which, you know, who knows who they could draw.
They're up in their game against LASK.
Yeah. So they are through. But, you know, they could get anyone in the next. So.
Mm. Yeah, it was pretty much just a Man United dominated game. Sheffield United didn't cause any means of a threat. And Simon Moore is not any means of backup to Henderson. And if Henderson's made Man United's new number one, then Sheffield United have got some purchasing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I won't be surprised if that was the case. I mean, Ollie has spoken very highly of Henderson. And if he could guarantee Henderson first-team football, you know, which he probably deserves at Man United, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him lining up as that Manchester United number one.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, Sheffield didn't really create anything this game. I mean, they had an XG of 0.11. So, you know, like, that's just so poor. But yeah, they're just bad, really, you know. There's a really crucial game coming up for them tonight as we're recording this against Spurs. And then on Sunday, obviously, they're playing Burnley. They're two crucial games for them. I think they need to get at least 4 points out of them two games to remain in the hunt for Europe.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to have to hope that Arsenal and Spurs continue their really inconsistent form.
Mm.
And Everton as well.
Well, I think Everton is... I don't know. I can't see Everton pushing up, to be honest with you. I think a bit too little too late for Everton. And as for Arsenal, I was just going to say, they've got a really tough run of fixtures, do Arsenal. I think, is it Wolves, Leicester, Spurs and Liverpool are the next four? So, you know. Yeah, I mean.
And they got City in the cup.
Yeah, they're going to struggle, Arsenal, to end up getting that European place. Anyway, are we to move on to, which one of the three do you want to talk about? Wolves game, Norwich game, Newcastle game?
We'll go to the one with the most goals, so Newcastle Villa.
Yeah. I thought Newcastle, well, not Newcastle, I thought Aston Villa played well in this match. Up until the West Ham game, which we'll get on to, I think Villa probably looked the most likely to break out of that bottom three of, you know, Villa, Bournemouth and West Ham. Because they showed quite a bit in this match.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good defensive performance like we saw against Chelsea, keeping ball at bay. Pretty level game as well. And Dwight Gale getting a goal right off the bench was a good morale booster.
Yeah. He's done well post-restart as Dwight Gale. You know, I wouldn't exactly call Dwight Gale a Premier League quality striker.
No.
But he has been playing well, to be fair. He's been in some decent form. But you would think that striker is the one position where they'd be looking to improve in the summer, which is mad considering they've already spent £40 million on a striker.
Then odd scorer in Ahmed Al Mohammadi. Was that scored from a cross? I can't remember how that was.
I think, was it a corner? I think it was a corner.
Yeah.
I seem to remember a cross into, it might have been a free kick actually. It was either a free kick or a corner, but it was a set piece anyway.
Mm-hmm. Jorge said it at. And it looked like Villa should have probably gone on to win it after that point.
Yeah. A draw was probably, if you look at the stats, I know stats aren't everything, but, you know, if you look at the stats, a draw was probably a fair result. Villa, I don't know, they're a funny team, Villa, you know. The show signs of, you know, promise and quality and being able to break out, but then they go and get spanked the next week. So, you know, like, it's hard to judge them. And Newcastle, you know, sat on 42 points. I think Europe is not a realistic target for them. But, you know, survival under Bruce, you know, it's a good season for them as well. Because they're only like 6 points off of last season's total under Rafa with six games to go, which is brilliant, yeah. Or they're close to it.
Yeah, I've just seen their run of games. I don't think Europe is within their realm of reality, to be honest.
Oh, sorry, the 3 points off of last season's total.
Hmm.
So, you know, I've seen a lot of stick for Bruce online, but, you know, he's delivered the results, you know. and he could end up with a better points total than Rafa did last season.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think if the takeover did happen that they would probably get rid of Bruce and try to bring in a big name.
Luis Enrique.
Yeah, I mean, what a fall from grace that would be. But yeah, I'd keep Bruce around. I think he's done well for Newcastle.
Yeah, but he's more of a survival specialist than chasing Europe kind of guy.
Yeah, but that's the position that Newcastle are in, let's face it.
They shouldn't be, with the money the fans.
Yeah, I mean, if the Arabs do take over, they probably will see a shoot up the table. But we'll see. We'll see, you know. Where do you want to go next? We'll go to Wolves and Bournemouth. Another typical Wolves goal, you know. Adama Traore, you know, getting a beautiful crossing, setting up Raul Jimenez on his head. And, you know, Wolves, another crucial 3 points for him in the fight for Champions League. I mean, they're 2 points off at the moment. I mean, it is a realistic possibility, especially when you consider Raul Jimenez. No, he has like, 20 goal contributions this season. Really underrated striker.
Mm-hmm. He has 15 goals, 6.
Yes. Yeah, he's performed really well this season.
Probably going to be even more on Europa League.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really, really good player, Raul Jimenez. And yeah, just Wolves ticking on again.
Mm-hmm. They're very good at finding that winning goal when things look a bit dire.
Yeah, I mean,
3 assists for Jimenez, Europa League.
Yeah, he is. And I mean, Wolves just dominated this game, really. It could come down to the last game of the season for them in terms of Champions League. I mean, they've got a crucial game against Chelsea. And I mean, they've got some tough games in there as well. You know, Arsenal, Sheffield, even Burnley away. But, you know, it is a possibility. They could get Champions League. They could even get Champions League through the Europa League. That's a real possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're really building something at Wolves.
Another spot if they finish top four.
What's that?
If they finish top four and they win Europa League, does that mean fifth place gets it? Or
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Because if they win it and they're outside the top four, they'll get it as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it will be... Because fifth would get Champions League anyway because of the City ban. So would sixth get Champions League? And then 7th, 8th, 9th get Europa League. I mean, you wouldn't think so. You know, you wouldn't think finishing 9th would be enough to qualify for a European tournament.
Well, it will be next year because they're going to have Europa League.
Are they? Is that coming in next season?
I believe so.
I thought that was ages away, that.
Well, the qualification...
No, I mean, a few seasons away before coming in, I thought that was...
I will have a look.
I could be wrong.
It says it's planned for starting in 2021.
So is that...
So that means qualifications
that, to me, that sounds like next season. Not next season, but the season after. The 2021-22 season. Yeah. So it's just Europa League qualifications this season. And then next season, it'll be qualifying for Europa League 2. What a wank name that is. Europa League 2. Do you not call it the better name? You wouldn't have called the actual Europa League the Champions League 2. You know. And then this should have been the Champions League 3. Like, you know, do you not come up with a decent name? Like UEFA League or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Aye. What is the point of that? Do you know what I mean? What is the point? Are they going to pump more money into the Europa League or something? And have
more money for the UEFA, isn't it? For them to buy, like, the games and shit.
Yeah, I guess. Aye.
Well, here it'll be shown on BT Sport.
Yeah.
They've already bought it out.
Well, I mean, they've got all European games, don't they? So. Anyway, let's move on to Everton and Norwich. Norwich, you know, they're just not good enough. You know, I feel bad saying it, you know, that they just don't have that quality, you know, that you need to survive. I mean, yeah, this was a rotated team, but, you know, just in general, you know, they play good football, you know, they've got a goal scorer, they've got some creative players, and they've even got a decent keeper, but they just don't have the overall quality to stay up.
They haven't scored in the Premier League for the past four games.
Yeah, but, you know, consider that they were against, you know, Arsenal, Everton, Southampton, yeah, fair enough, and a pre-restart Sheffield United. Mm. So, you know, three out of those four, they would have struggled to score against them, you know, regardless of form or whatever.
They're very bizarre, because they can beat teams like Leicester and Man City, but can't beat teams around them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when they'd have beaten Man City, they'd have thought, oh, this Premier League lark's easy, we'll be staying up. But then, straight after, they lose 2-0 to Burnley, lose 2-0 to Crystal Palace, get spanked 5-1 by Aston Villa. Like, you know. Yeah,
it's spanked 5-1 by a team that's just a little bit above you, then you're really out of your wood depth.
Well, I mean, we got spanked 5-0 by Spurs, so I'm keeping my mouth shut. But yeah, like, they just don't have the quality at the end of the day. You know, they didn't spend loads in the transfer window, which is admirable. You know, the owners aren't rich or whatever, so, you know, they can't afford to go out and spend 15, 20 million pounds on a player. But they do seem to have a long-term plan, you know. For next season's transfer window, it's not about bringing players in, it's more keeping hold of your Cantwells, your Buendias, your Aaronses, your Godfreys, your Lewises, keeping hold of those players, keeping that core squad together, and, you know, fighting for promotion next season. They want to be a West Brom and not a Stoke. Because we've seen plenty of teams, you know, Southampton, Portsmouth, Wigan, not Southampton, sorry, Sunderland, Sunderland, Portsmouth, Wigan, Bolton, just get relegated from the Premier League. Wolves, even. They get relegated from Premier League and they just plummet, you know, into League
well,
One.
The Saints, but then they went back up.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it did, actually. I forgot about that. Yeah. But, yeah, like, we've seen plenty of teams do that. So, you know, I don't think Norwich will do that. I feel like, you know, they're sensible. They've not got players on high wages. So it's just about keeping that core squad and going again, rebuilding. Bringing in one or two players and just going again. Because a lot of that squad is young. And they just need one or two more years to get better at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found that squad depth is a massive problem for them.
Hmm. Well, yeah, squad depth is a problem for the majority of bottom half Premier League. You won't find many Premier League teams in the bottom half that can field a strong, you know, second team that can match up to the first in any way.
Well, I'd argue Watford, maybe.
I mean, maybe, but, you know, but maybe one or two positions, but, you know, they couldn't name an entire 11, I don't think, that would be just as good as their starting 11.
No.
But yeah. And as for Everton as well, let's talk about Everton. The turnaround from Silva to Ancelotti has been great. I mean, it was probably done about a month too late. If they pulled the trigger like 5 or 6 weeks earlier, they could be fighting for Europe. But as it is now, I think it's just a little bit too little too late for them. I don't know what you think, especially with they've got tough fixtures as well. You know, they've got Spurs, Wolves, Chef U. So, yeah, I think they're just a little bit too late, Everton.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know a player who's really impressed post-restart, I'd say, is Michael Keane. He's done really well. Harking back to his days at Burnley, he's just been clearing everything. You know, been dominant in the air. And he even picked up a goal in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got a clean sheet as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I've really been impressed by him.
Yeah, but Calvert-Lewin has gone a bit off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always thought he was a funny player anyway, Calvert-Lewin. He seems like a form player. You know, he can score 4-4, 5-5, but he can also go 5-6 without scoring. So, yeah, he seems like a form player. He is a good player, though. He's a quality player. I mean, what's he got? Is it 11 or 12 goals this season in the league? 13, right, yeah. So, you know, to get double figures in the Premier League, you got to have something about you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. He's only got one assist.
But that's not his job, though. His job isn't to get assists. Yeah. He's the big number nine. You know, players like Richarlison and Bernard, they're the ones who create stuff around him. He's just there to, you know, make sure the ball hits back at net.
Well, you say that, but Richarlison's only got 3 assists.
Well, yeah. So, but he's got, you know, what, like, Richarlison's got, like...
He's got 11.
Yeah. Yeah, so they are a good front two pairing.
Jesus,
I've always said you should never judge a striker, you know, unless they are someone like a Firmino. Don't judge them on assists, because their job isn't to find a pass, their job is to score, so, you know.
Yeah, it is when they play two up top.
Well, not necessarily, you know.
Well, you'd hope that they're working together.
Well, you can work together without, you know, providing assists all the time, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess. They're, you know, top assists.
Wooden Barnes never, you know, they never had loads of assists or whatever, but, you know, they were a brilliant pairing together, you know.
Yeah, but Everton only winning by a 1-goal margin.
Mm.
Yeah, they still got -7 for goal difference. That's might be what it comes down to on the...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams who are above them who do have a better goal difference. I mean, obviously, Sheffield on -1, Spurs on 9, us on... not us, Arsenal on 6. We're on -9, so, you know, at least it's better than one at teams above them. But yeah, they're looking decent, but there is room for improvement. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm. And if they're going to splash the cash, then they ought to properly scout the players.
Yeah, because they've just wasted money, you know, these past 3 or 4 years. They've just thrown money, you know, £20 million, £30 million at players that just haven't worked out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you're going to spend that kind of money on a player, you ought to make sure that he's a good player. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like they just heard, oh, Cenk Tosun, he's pretty decent. Let's go buy him. And he's been an absolute...
Yeah. But you need to make sure they fit in the system that you're playing, you know. And Tosun, he fit under Allardyce because he was the big number 9 that you get crosses into the box for. But he didn't fit under Marco Silva, who, you know, passes it out from back. So, yeah, it's all about getting players who fit within your system.
Yeah. Should we move on to the Liverpool panel?
Yeah, we can do. I mean, there's, you know, there's not that much to say, really. Just Liverpool were Liverpool that just dominated the game. Palace didn't even have a shot on target. Yeah, I mean, unless you've got all to say specific about any players or any performances, you know, there's not too much to say, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I mean, they did look far better than they did against Everton, did Liverpool. They were creating a lot more.
Great goal by Trent.
Oh, yeah, that free kick.
And
oh, beautiful. And I mean, because Chelsea beat Man City, you know, that this was the game that ended up winning the league. And deservedly so as well, you know, best team by far. Just this should be Liverpool.
Well, since you brought it up, should we go into the Chelsea Man City game?
Yeah, we might as well keep it rolling. Go on, I'll let you have the floor here.
Well, when I saw the lineups, I automatically assumed we were losing. So somehow we kept the ball out of the net, but City weren't really causing much threats towards the goal. They were doing a lot of crosses and dribbling in the box, but they never sort of got their shots off. They had 2 shots on target all game. And then they get a corner. It's headed out. And calamitous defending between... Was it Fernandinho and Laporte?
No, it was... I thought it was Mendy and Gundogan, I think, if I remember rightly.
Okay, well, they were saying, oh no, you have it. Now you have it. And then eventually Pulisic picks it up and just dances around them and then slots past Edison into a basically open net.
Mm.
And then we go into the half 1-0 up, complete against a run of play. Then the second half, I think City looked a bit more spirited. I'm assuming Guardiola kicked him up the arse.
Mm.
Kevin De Bruyne scores probably one of the best free kicks this season. If not the best. And then one of the most... It was either the most shit attacking or the best defending by Walker. I can't even explain it. Like, can
you... I've no idea what was going on, to be honest with you.
Basically, it was a miracle how the ball didn't go in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Because even Abraham was following up and didn't even go in. Then a similar thing happens again, but instead of it being cleared off the line with someone's feet, it was Fernandinho clearing it off the line with his hands. So that
couldn't have many complaints, really. I mean, that's clear, to be fair.
Yeah. He was trying to be Suarez like Uruguay against Ghana.
Yeah, but at least Suarez, you know, it was open with it. Made a diving save, did Suarez.
And they missed the penalty.
Yeah, exactly. It was worth it in the end.
Yeah, but that wasn't happening this time because Willian smashes it past Edison.
Am I right in saying that he's never missed a penalty for Chelsea, Willian?
I can double check that.
I think I remember hearing that. I mean, obviously, he scored a penalty as well against West Ham. So I could be wrong, but I think I remember hearing that.
What, for Chelsea or in his career?
Yeah, for Chelsea.
Yeah, he's never missed for Chelsea.
Oh.
He missed for Schalke. Not Schalke, Shakhtar. His last miss was in 2012.
Impressive. But yeah, you know, brilliant result for you lot. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone really expected that, to be honest with you. You'd have thought that had been enough to, you know, seal top four. But I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, we'll get into it in a bit, but it obviously wasn't as of yet.
I saw a tweet that was kind of funny, though.
Go on.
It said Lampard's won Liverpool a Premier League before Gerrard did.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. yeah, it's to make up for Denver Bar. It's my thought. Lampard getting one over on, you know, his most famous club that he ever played for. I completely forgot about that until someone reminded me, you know, that Lampard actually played for Man City. That was fucking mad.
He scored against us, so it's hard. So, rewinding a bit, should we go into Saints Arsenal?
Yeah, go on, we'll go into that.
Fuck me.
What was that from fucking McCarthy for first goal and Stevens getting sent off? Like, what was that? And McCarthy for second goal as well. Fucking hell, what is that? Fraser Forster walks straight into that first team next season, surely, you'd think.
Yeah. If I was the manager, I'd find it very hard not to fucking boot my player in the face.
Yeah.
Fucking Christ. Give him the old hairdryer.
Exactly. I mean, what is that? You know, as a goalkeeper, the minimum I expect you to be able to do is catch a ball that's coming at you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just... It's straight at him. You know, it's just awful.
Why was he playing Spider Keeper? I don't know what the hell he saw. He literally passed it straight to Nketiah.
Oh, yeah. For first goal as well. Like, mad. And thing is, Southampton probably played better overall.
Yeah.
But it was just two mistakes from McCarthy.
Yeah. He wasn't dropped out of the next game, which is shocking.
Yeah. Mind you, I mean, who else have they got? Angus Gunn, who conceded 9 against Leicester. So. Yeah.
Well, they could call back for Forster.
Could they?
Can you not insert a player? Or have you got to register them?
I'm pretty sure players that have been loaned out can't be registered for this season.
Because
we've had a lot of youngsters that we could have played, but we can't. I know. I think in the EFL, I think in Championship, they're overturning that. But I don't think they have done it in Premier League yet. They're on about it, but they haven't done it.
Okay. But yeah, Saints probably deserve something out of the game. If it wasn't for the stupidity...
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's mad. But the minimum that you have to do as a goalkeeper is catch a ball that's coming straight into your chest. You know, it's not like they're asking him to make fucking top corner save. Like, straight at him. It's mad. Martinez in goal. What do you think of him? I thought he did quite well. Made a double save against Danny Ings, didn't he?
Yeah, that was good, actually. But, I don't know, I didn't really rate him in the Sheffield United game, which was the next one. But, yeah, that's about all from that game.
Yeah. Right, so, I mean, talk about the other game from that. Burnley and Watford. What a turnaround this was. Oh, you know, like we got absolutely spanked 5-0 by Man City. We had an XG of 0.08, you know. All the fucking shit that happened with the racist, you know, fans in quotation marks, you know, and all the fucking contract situation, all of that shit, you know, and we still managed to win 1-0, you know. If that doesn't get Sean Dyche a contract for life, and if that doesn't convince Mike Garlick to back him, then now it will. Honestly, like, that was just, you know, in first half, we absolutely wiped the floor with Not in first half. You know, we were playing some brilliant football, playing them off the park, and they didn't know how to deal with us. And second half was just a typical shithouse performance from us. You know, defended well, and McNeil putting in a brilliant cross, bang onto J-Rod's head. You know, we did what we had to do, which was get a result and bounce back from a shit week on and off the
pitch. There was a moment which you should have scored... in the first half, if I recall.
Oh, yeah, when Vidra hit the post, it was unlucky not to score there. Beautiful chip over Ben Foster. And then J-Rod on the rebound. I think that was another save from... oh, no, it was blocked off the line by Dawson.
Oh, he's had a brilliant comeback.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. He's probably been Watford's best player, to be honest with you. Yeah, he's... been immense. But yeah, we probably could have had two or three. Jay Rodriguez coming off in, 80th minute with an injury. But fortunately, that's not looking too bad. He's looking like he'll be back fit for Sunday. And Watford, you know, I think they showed in this game, I think they showed enough that they could stay up. I do think. They've looked a lot better than some of the other teams have down there in relegation zone.
Yeah, they've had some pretty decent performances in spells. But it's a long way away from what that season when they got to an FA Cup final. Was that last season?
Yeah, it was. Because they did overachieve. They got, They got 11th and they got to FA Cup final. Right.
Yeah, I think they've got the right manager now. Just need some good investments to push them back up where they sort of deserve to be.
The turnaround under Pearson has been really good. Looked a lot more organised. They've just looked better in general. But they're just not getting the look. I think they will stay up. I really do. Because the players are actually fighting for the shirt, do you know what I mean? You can't say that about Bournemouth, for example.
No. They don't have any sort of, like, I guess the term's like homegrown, I guess.
What, you're about Bournemouth?
Yeah, because like Watford have Deeney, and he always seems to have that fight for him because Watford's in his blood.
Yeah, I know that they are poor. Anyway, we move on to Villa and Wolves. Again, you know, Villa were trying something different here. But against Wolves, it's a tough, tough game. They just weren't clinical enough, Villa, you know. 11 shots, one on target. You have to be doing better than that if you want to stay up.
Yeah, they're missing Wesley. That's a
matter. And Wesley weren't even all that for him.
No. They're missing the goal scorers, basically.
They're missing Abraham, who they had last season.
Yeah, but you can't have him.
You can give him back Shawaii now. Now he's your fourth choice.
Yeah, they can have him. Yeah. I don't really rate him.
Wolves seem to be really good at grinding out results, you know. And that's a sign of a good team, you know, that, you know, when it's hard, when you're not creating loads, you know, they can still pull out a victory.
And it can come from anywhere.
Exactly, yeah.
And I like that... Adama Traore is pretty happy to come off the bench and be that lightning quick player to cause issues.
That impact sub, yeah.
Because they know his best assets are his speed, his strength, and his crossing. And if he's going to be running against tired defenders, he's winning that all day.
Exactly, yeah. He's probably been, the most improved player in the Premiership this season, I'd say, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's always been quick. He's always been strong. But his end product has improved dramatically this season. I mean, you know, you look at him, you know, at Middlesbrough, you know, and it was just quick, you know. But he's really improved technically this season. I mean, he's got, what, 10 assists? So, yeah, he's done really well, Traore, this season to better himself.
Do you say he's got 10 assists? He's
I think so, yeah. All right.
4 goals, 9 assists.
Right.
He's won 6 man of the matches.
Yeah, well, he does have that. He has that thing. He has that impact where he stands out from the rest of players on, purely because he's miles quicker than them.
He could honestly play rugby.
Yeah, he probably could, to be honest with you. He's just massive. And he gets into most Premier League teams, to be honest with you, Traore. He gets into most teams in the world, to be honest with you, I'd say.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind
taking that. He's that good. Are we going to move on to FA Cup then? Because that was roughly about this time.
Okay.
I mean, got, you know, Norwich and Man U to start off with. Want to take us through that?
Yeah, all the action came in the second half. Odion Ighalo opens up the scoring 6 minutes after the half. Restarts again. Then Todd Cantwell, who we were talking about earlier, gets an equaliser. And then things start to go downhill when Tim Closer gets straight red. But somehow Norwich forced the game to go to extra time, because that second half by United was dominant.
Yeah, they were holding on by the skin of the teeth. Norwich.
And then when extra time hit, it was all Man United.
Yeah, they were playing for penalties with Norwich, definitely. Well, they knew they weren't going to score again, so they're just playing for penalties. Because all can happen in a shootout, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Kroll was made to save 4 shots in that in extra time. United had 18 attempts, 5 on target. And in the entire game, they had 35 shots, 8 on target.
Yeah, I mean, that is mad.
Yeah.
I mean, this should have been more clinical, though, because that's like, what, just over 20... That's a just over 20% on-target ratio. Like, you know, they're lucky they weren't playing against the Liverpool or something, because 20% of the shots being on target, that's not good.
Man, it wasn't like they were facing very, you know, credible defenders, and they were down to 10 men as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, if they were playing against anyone decent, they wouldn't have got out from this game, I don't think.
No.
And when I say, you know, if they're playing anyone decent, I don't mean that, you know, disrespect to Norwich, but, you know, when I say decent, I mean like a Wolves or a Leicester or someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't have got out against those sort of teams with a 20% shot on target ratio.
I think it's because they knew they could, they were going through and they were just being a bit more adventurous with their attempts.
Well, I mean, the winner wasn't that adventurous. It was, you know, League 2-esque.
Yeah, I think they were panicking then. Maguire getting...
Yeah, I mean, it was sloppy defending from Norwich. They should have got that ball clear well before it got to Maguire's feet. That sent Norwich out at Cup. You know, they were never going to win Norwich. But it would have been nice for them, for the fans, to go to Wembley. But obviously that's not going to happen.
The next game, what was that?
Was Sheffield and Arsenal.
Yeah. This was a game where I didn't think Emilio Martinez was all that. Pepe opens up the scoring, with, you know, as you'd expect for being 72 million, by a penalty. Do you think it was a penalty?
Probably, yeah, I'd say. Why would you think?
You didn't card anyone. But it was pretty dangerous for Sebastian.
It was. I think a yellow probably would have been fair, but, you know, I don't think Arsenal can have many complaints because they got the penalty. I don't think it was a red, but yeah, it definitely was a penalty.
And then after half time, Sheffield United get a goal ruled out for offside via VAR.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been more egregious examples of goals being ruled out by VAR that we'll get onto in a little bit. Yeah, in terms of offside, it's not been good for, you know, fucking hell, I can't speak. In terms of offside goals being ruled out, it's not been very good for VAR. But that being said, it probably was just offside. Yeah. Fucking hell, we'll have to cut half of that out. Jesus Christ, I was chatting shit there.
But luckily, they do find a way. David McGoldrick pounces on sort of a loose ball and beats Emilio Martinez. And he probably should have saved it. And then Daniel Ceballos, who's just extended his loan with Arsenal, grabs a win. And I can't help but feel sorry for Sheffield United, who I felt were the better side, despite having less ball.
Yeah. I do think that Henderson has to be doing better for that second goal as well. He didn't get down quick enough and made it easy for Ceballos, really. But Arsenal going five at the back as well, it's worked well for them, this change in form. I think they look decent. Between this game and Norwich, they've looked good.
Yeah, 3-4-3, but more of a 5.
Well, it's a 5-2-3 with wing back, isn't it?
Yeah, even though I don't think Maitland-Niles is that good of a defender.
Well, I think he's better than Bellerin, to be honest with you. I really do not rate Bellerin. Yeah. The only thing he had going for him was pace, and he doesn't have pace anymore. So. Anyway, we'll move on to Chelsea. Yeah.
Yeah, this was a really, really tight game. I had to take a moment of magic to sort of separate the two teams, and that came from Barkley. And I've said this on Twitter, and so I'll say it here. I think he's having a better season than Kante, which says a lot. And I think Kante, if I was the Chelsea board, I'd be looking to get him out of the team and out of the club, basically.
Yeah. He just doesn't fit. You know, he's a good player, but he just doesn't fit the Lampard style. I feel like under Conte, he worked. Under Sarri, he sort of worked. But in this new Lampard system, he just doesn't fit. You know, you need your defensive midfielder to be able to spray balls across the pitch, and that's someone that Jorginho can do, but not necessarily Kante. He's not that creative.
I just find he holds up play a lot. And I thought his performance last night was sort of he should be gone. But yeah.
Yeah. Which is a bit harsh because he's still, you know, quality player.
Yeah, he's fine and all, but if he doesn't fit the system and he's more detrimental to it, then
yeah.
He ought to go.
All right.
For the right money, obviously.
Yeah. And especially considering, you know, you could use that money to invest in a completely new defence. I mean, what else do you want to say on this Leicester game, or we move on to the City game?
Let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually working during this, so I only saw highlights. So, you know, go on. Give us your take first, anyway.
I don't think there's much to say. I think it was a very Man City-dominated performance that they've sort of lacked in the Premier League when they're playing the bottom sides. Dominated the ball, dominating the shots, actually finding the net, not letting any sort of counter-attacks get past them. Yeah, just keeping everything of Newcastle to a minimum and just seeing out the game.
That Gale miss, though. Jesus Christ. 2 yards out.
How the hell did he miss that?
It was 2 yards out. Oh, my God.
It was a miss, and it was the score.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and they got punished for that. Sterling makes sure that nothing like that's going to happen again.
Bye. Yes. Puller.
Had they have scored that, would it have been a different game? Might have given Newcastle a real boost. Because if they were able to score with that limited chances.
I still think that City would have gone on to win the game. I think Newcastle would have done like Norwich did and played for penalties at that point. And I think inviting pressure and giving the likes of De Bruyne, Silva, Sterling, Mahrez, giving them players, you know, space, you know, it's all going to end one way.
Yeah. So should we resume back to Premier League?
Yeah. What is it now? Watford and Southampton.
Yes.
Yeah. Go on then. What do you remember of Watford and Southampton?
Danny Ings, doing what Danny Ings does. You know, he's. I'd be surprised if Saints.
It all depends on whether he wants to go or not. You know, because if he don't want to go, he's not going to leave.
No, that's true. But he must feel so achy after the game because he carries them.
Mm, yeah.
And their defence has been a constant issue throughout. And that's even worse when Bednarek's putting in their own net.
Yeah. I mean, they were lucky they were coming up against, you know, Dini, who was, you know, let's not beat around the bush. He was shit, you know. Because, you know, when you're losing constant aerial battles against, you know, a guy who's known for being shit in the air, like, you know you've got problems.
Mm.
No, but Danny Ings, though, I do think... I genuinely think, you know, when everyone's fit, he starts for every single team in the league apart from City and Spurs. I do think he starts for Liverpool, Ings.
Yeah, he's a good poacher. And he works hard for his goals and kind of... I think he'd do better in a bigger team because he's reserving more energy.
Mm. Yeah, I feel, you know, I feel sorry for Danny because, you know, he was injured when Klopp came in, you know. So, you know, he never got a chance to impress, you know, give a good first impression on training ground, which, you know, that meant his Liverpool career was doomed from the start, really. Mm. You know, I feel like if he wasn't injured at that point, I feel like he would have probably thrived under Klopp. You know, like you said, he works hard for the team, you know. He's not, you know, someone who's just going to stay in penalty area and wait for the ball to come to him. He's not a Berbatov. You know, he works hard for the team. He puts the centre-halves under pressure. And yeah, he's all round a brilliant player, Danny. You know, I'd love to see him back at Turf Moor, but he's outgrown us.
Well, I've just looked, and Danny Ings makes up 44% of Saints' goals.
I mean, that is, you know, just ridiculous.
Mm.
Like, I mean, we talk about, you know, one-man teams, but that is, you know, 44% of your team's goals scored by one person. That is mad. He's had to, though, you know, because Che Adams has been a flop. Mm. Shane Long, you know, is about 102 years old. Redmond's, you know, constantly been on and off this season. Like, so he's had to be the main goal scorer for him.
Second place is Aubameyang for Arsenal with 40.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised there. He carries Arsenal as well, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, when you get two of the world's elite strikers, you know, and you put them in mid-table sides, they are going to score, you know, a majority of their goals. So that's what's happening at Southampton and Arsenal. But yeah, he's just a brilliant forward, you know. I love seeing how much he's evolved over the years, Danny. And yeah, I feel like he's unlucky that the Euros didn't happen this season because with Kane being injured, you know, he probably would have started. Well, no, he probably wouldn't have started, that's a lie, but he deserved to have started.
He gets in over Kane.
Really?
Mm.
I mean, I won't go that far, to be honest with you. I think Kane, you know, when he's fit, he is the second best striker in the world, in my opinion. So, you know, I don't think Danny gets over him. He's a brilliant striker. But, you know, he's not at that level for me. He's class.
Let's have a look. Ings has scored 18, Kane on 12.
Yeah, but Kane's been injured for the majority of the season, haven't they?
Kane's played 22, 32, okay.
Yeah, Kane's got, you know, more than one every two games. So, by that record, if he'd have carried that on without being injured, if he'd have played every game, that's a 20-goal-plus season. So... probably similar to what Danny would have got.
Jesus, Ings makes up 50% of Saints' home goals.
One in every two goals at St Mary's is scored by Ings. That is mad. I mean, don't Southampton have like one of the worst or the worst home records like in the league? I think they've only
they'd
got
be bottom of the league if they were basing it on home games alone.
Yeah. I think they've only got like 10 points at home all season or something like that.
14.
14. And that's out of how many games?
16.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to get less than a point a game at home, you know, that is just awful. You know, how many points have Norwich got at home?
15.
Yeah, so you're worse at home than bottom of the league are. Like, that is just, that's unacceptable, that.
Burnley would be 9th, Chelsea would be 8th.
Ooh, funny that. Chelsea, you're far better team away than you are at home. Well, I don't know why that is, you know.
And if Saints were to play, if we were basing all the stats off of away, they'd be 5th. 26 points. 4th would be Chelsea. Burnley would be 10th. So you're very equal home and away.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be that we'd get majority of his points at home. I remember the 16-17 season. I think we only won once away from home all season. And we survived comfortably as well by like 7 or 8 points. But now we are pretty even, home and away. Because that was something we always had to improve on, was away form.
Liverpool are unbeaten at home. They got 16.
They've won every game, won't they?
Yep. Yeah. They've drawn twice away and lost once.
Anyway, let's move on to the Monday night game. Palace and Burnley. It was 10th and 11th. The loser was out of the Europa League running, basically. And just like the Watford game, first half completely outplayed Palace, and second half we shithoused a goal and shithoused a win. You know, and again, Dyche with 7 subs on his bench, you know, one player on that bench had played first team football for Burnley. You know, we had 2 keepers on the bench. Like, how the hell did we win that? You know, I mean, it was pretty obvious that Zaha had been rushed back. He was still injured. And he played like it. He did nothing. But yeah, Ben Mee, on his 300th league game for us, picking up a rare goal for him. And yeah, just brilliant, brilliant result. And we are now, because of those 6 points, we are now in the running for Europe, which is brilliant. I mean, in December, January, we were in the bottom 3. So that turnaround has been brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we are a second-half team. We've always been a second-half team. And that's in terms of, in the game, we play better in the second half. And in a season as a whole, we've always done better in the second half of the season. Like, in the Championship, the whole second half of the season, we went unbeaten, 23 games undefeated. Last season, you know, we were, I think if we weren't bottom, we were close to bottom. And we ended up pushing out of that into safety. And this season, we were close to bottom and we've pushed into the Europe now. So, you know, we are a second half team. And, you know, obviously Dyche deserves all credit in the world. Brilliant manager. If you still think Eddie Howe's a better manager than Sean Dyche, grow up. And yeah, it just needs to be backed. You know, if we're going to let the greatest manager of the past 60 years leave our club because we won't back him, you know, that is unacceptable.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, because if he goes, we go down. There's no beating around the bush, you know. Dyche is the only person keeping this club afloat. Like, we would be fucked without Sean Dyche. But because everything, the club ethos, you know, is centred around Dyche. You know, in the new training ground, you know, Barnfield in Padiham, you know, it's Sean Dyche quotes all over. You know, the whole club philosophy is built around the Sean Dyche mentality, you know. Just everything is built around one man. And when it comes that one man will leave, we will go down. There's no doubt about it. So we've got to do everything in our power to keep Sean Dyche at this club for as long as possible. Because we're not going to keep him forever. You know, I'm not that thick. But, you know, if we're driving him, we're actively driving him away, you know, that is unacceptable.
I mean, have you got a bunch of money to offer him?
Well, he's on a decent contract. But, you know, if we get Europa League, that's twice we've got Europa League in the past 3 seasons, you know, and we've been in the Premier League for the past 5 seasons as well. So, you know, like, it's just, we have the money. How many hundreds of millions do you get from staying in the Premier League every season? You get hundreds of millions, you know. And yes, you know, we've built the new training ground, you know, but we can afford to spend more money. It's just madness. You know, it's like we've had a £10 million net spend average over the past 5 years. Like, that is not enough to stay in the Premier League nowadays. You know, the days of finding, you know, Nick Pope for 1 million, James Tarkowski for 3 million, Ashley Barnes for 500k, Charlie Taylor on a free, you know, Ashley Westwood for £4 million, you know, the days of finding those sorts of players, they're done. You can't get that. So you've got to spend money on players that are actually going to go straight into the starting 11, because we constantly just buy squad players. We don't need squad players. We need players who are going to improve the team. You know, the last signing I can think of that went straight into that first team was Chris Wood, and that was 3 years ago. So, you know, like, we've got to spend money. We need a right back, we need a right winger, and we need a centre mid, and maybe a centre back, depending on if Gibson, not Gibson, depending on if Dunn is trusted. But we just need to give Dyche the backing, because we've got the money. We just need to give it to him to spend.
Yeah, especially if you, I think aspirations for Europe is definitely something that you need to keep as a long-term goal.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get it this year, you're going to want to get it next year, and especially to compete in it. Because last time when you were in the Europa League, you were riddled with Premier League games where you were struggling because you were making up for the Europa League.
Well, I think it was a case of, because A, it was a World Cup year, and B, we went in at the second qualifying round. That means the players only had like two weeks or 3 weeks pre-season altogether before we went back into games. So I think that was the main thing, really. I don't think it was, you know, the fact that we were tired. I think it was just the fact that we had no pre-season, basically. Because, you know, we had players coming back from the World Cup in, you know, mid-June, and the season started in July. So, like, we barely had any pre-season, you know. I feel like, especially if seventh gets, you know, straight into the group stages, I feel like that's a target for us. But that was more what killed us off. But yeah, we're not dumb. We're not saying, you know, oh, we need to get Europa League every season, or, you know, we need to push into the Champions League, because we're not a big club. We're never going to do that. Burnley is a town. It's not even a city. It's a town that has a 90,000 population, you know, that... The ground seats 20,000. It's never going to get more than that. Like, we're not trying to have fake aspirations. But all we say is, don't drive away Sean Dyche by not backing him. That's all we want. Mm. You know, we don't want to be a Stoke, you know, who, you know, they got rid of Mark Hughes because he got him eighth instead of seventh. You know, we're not going to do that. Yeah. We're not thick. We're not saying, oh, we need to get Europa League every season, because we know where we are. But if we don't start spending, not only are we not going to get Europa League, we're going to struggle to stay in the Premier League. So that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd like to think that we're going to spend in the summer, because both Dyche and our, what's he called? Director of Football, Mike Rigg, have come out and said that we've looked into the European markets. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, you're going to start from Sweden.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, I mean, we've already got one Swedish player. We don't need more than that.
You got a Swedish?
Yeah. Jordan Bongo.
Who the hell is that?
Bongo from the Congo. He's a striker. Sweden. Yeah, but his parents are from the Congo. And Congo rhymes with Bongo. So, yeah. We've been linked with Joachim Mailer from Genk. Who is a good right back, good young attacking right back. And yeah, I've just...
Sign me, thought, buddy. I'll get you good players.
Yeah. Just spend half an hour on FM. But yeah, like, I'd like to think that we are going to spend, especially with Joe Hart, Aaron Lennon, and Jeff Hendrick especially. They're all leaving the club. We're getting them off the wage bill. which Jeff Hendrick, I still can't believe we let him go for a free. For a free. When AC Milan want him, and we're letting him go on a free.
AC Milan want Jeff Hendrick.
Yeah, AC Milan are going to get Jeff Hendrick.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Because I was gonna buy Jeff Hendrick 13 AC Milan kit, but they're £100. £100 for a home shirt. That's fucking ridiculous.
What are your sources?
You what?
What are your sources for Hendrick going?
Everyone. I mean, Sky have reported it. You know, club specific. You know, Burnley specific sources have been reporting that as well. You know, like Chris Bowden. And yet, you know, they have. There's been a lot of speculation.
This is insane.
I mean, let's be honest. If he wasn't on a free, AC Milan, I don't think AC Milan would be going in for him, you know, to try and bite him. They probably just thought, he's a useful squad player and we'd get him for nothing.
He signs Zlatan on a free and they go, all right, let's get Jeff Hendrick.
Well, he's not a bad little player, isn't Jeff Hendrick? He can play anywhere you ask him and he always gives 110% for the team, you know.
Yeah, but AC Milan.
Well, they're not even, you know, in Europa League positions. They're in the same positions as us in Serie A.
Consortium.
Well, you know, the players that they can attract, you know, it's not going to be all that, especially if they don't even have Europa League football, you know. But yeah, what I gathered from that was that AC Milan kits are far too expensive. How much is a Chelsea shirt, do you know?
No, they've gone like half price.
Yeah, because £100, and that's without delivery and stuff. It'd be another like tenner on top of that, so £110. For an AC Milan shirt with Hendrick 13 on it. No, I'm not having that.
That's insane. What number would you have on the back?
Well, it'd probably be... He played 13 for us, so but it'd just be whatever number he'd have.
Right. So how much is a Burnley?
Roughly. Well, when they first come out, they're about £40-ish. I think £45, I think it is, actually.
Well, on the Nike store, it's being listed as... £40.
What's that?
A Chelsea kit.
Yeah. £110 for a kit. That is just absolutely, you know, that's taking the piss. Come on. Like, you know, you could get, you know, half of an Arsenal ticket for that. You know what I mean?
Dang. Where were you going to buy it from?
You what?
Where were you going to buy it from?
Well, I just looked on the AC Milan store.
We can get one from Puma for £45.
Wait, can you actually? I'll have a look into it anyway. The listeners aren't interested. I'll have a look into it. Because I do want to support him, you know, especially if he goes to a big club like that. I mean, if he goes to Celtic, fuck him. But, you know, if he goes to AC Milan or Roma, you know, I'll get a shirt to support him. Good lad, Jeff Hendrick. Good lad. Right, anyway, let's move on to... Eventually. Let's move on to Brighton and Man U. Go on, what were your thoughts on Brighton and Man U?
Yeah, again, it was much like the Sheffield United game, one-sided match. I thought, which one was the long-range Bruno Fernandes goal? Is that the third one?
Think so. Yeah, don't quote me on that.
That shouldn't have gone in. No. Shocking Matty Ryan.
Yeah.
But Bruno Fernandes... is like a potion with fucking splash on him. Because he affects the whole team.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, he's just transformed that Man United team.
Holy shit, Ashraf Hakimi signed for Inter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Mad that. Especially considering, you know, don't even have Champions League football and they've got one of the best fullbacks in the world.
The best, in my opinion. Mm. His goal contributions on.
Yeah. Mad. Him and Grail was sick at that.
Market value of 48 million and he bought him for 36.
I thought it was 42 they got him for. Might have been 42 million euros. But yeah, anyway. Like you were saying, yeah, it's just a pretty one-sided affair. Greenwood getting a goal. And Brighton didn't really create much. I think Brighton probably are safe. I mean, you know, one more win... and they're almost certainly safe, and they've got Norwich up next. So,
yeah, that's the
you'd think that'd be the game where they secure survival. Because if they go 9 points clear, five games left, that'll be enough. Because to be honest with you, I can't see Villa or Bournemouth picking up 6 points, never mind nine. So.
No. And the next game's about the same as this one, as the Man United one. Just a one-sided route, really.
No, it depends on March. Which, I was about to say, that doesn't narrow it down. I mean, Arsenal, you know, again, looking good at three at the back. But yeah, I mean, they just rolled over Norwich. And I mean, I've seen Arsenal fans getting excited over it. But it is Norwich. You've got to bear that in mind. Cedric getting a goal on his debut as well. You know, we all laughed at him, but, you know, it's turned out well on his debut at least.
He signed on a free, apparently.
Signed on a free?
Yeah.
I thought they paid like 10 million for him or something.
No, they got him on loan originally.
Yeah, I saw that.
Joel Campbell's gone to Mexico. Do you remember him?
I remember thinking, like, oh, he's going to be sick. He's going to be like Walcott. What?
Ended up more like, who was that lad that you, Ravel Morrison, that was it.
Oh, yes. You know when Chris Wilder can't get, you can't get a good attitude out of him, you know that you kind of fucked. Yeah. Well, I was thinking more of, Yaya Sanogo. More like what Joe Campbell's like. But anyway, speaking of bad attitudes, we're move on to Bournemouth. I mean, their players have just stopped playing for them. They don't care anymore. They know they're going down, so they've just given up. And I would be fucking fuming if I was a Bournemouth fan. I would want every single one of those players released from the contracts. Like, with the exception of maybe Brooks. But the rest of them have just given up, and they were god-awful. Conceding four against Newcastle, who have the lowest percentage possession in the league. And they conceded four against, you know, Newcastle, who...
In this game as well.
Yeah.
They're shy.
I mean, Newcastle, who have scored an average of one a game this season, you know. The fourth lowest scorers in the league, I think. Might be fifth. And they conceded four against, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, right? St. Maximin is a joy to watch. He is just absolutely beautiful on the ball. But come on, you've got to do better than that. They know they're going down. They're not bothered. They're not arsed. And I can see Bournemouth becoming the new Portsmouth, to be honest with you. I can see them just rocketing, you know, down the leagues, you know. Because a lot of those players will be on high wages.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It's weird because I was giving Ramsdale praise at the start of the season, and now he just seems very bang up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's only a young keeper, you know. I mean, Pickford was in a Sunderland side that was awful, and I mean, he's turned out decent. I was going to say great, but he haven't really. I mean, oh, so it's poor. It's poor. I mean, I'm just, you know, looking here at some of the Bournemouth salaries. Like, it's just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like, for a club, they're going to have to shift on basically half the squad or make them take pay cut.
Which isn't going to happen.
No. But, you know, you've got Callum Wilson on nearly 100 grand a week. Like, and you're going to get relegated. Like, it's just mad. Anyway, yeah, do you want to move on to Everton-Leicester?
Yeah, let's keep delaying.
Yeah, I mean, what was up with Leicester?
Don't know. They were dominating, but they didn't look threatening, if that makes any sense.
Vardy looked off. You know, it's making me wonder, you know, as good as a season he's had, like, how old is he? 33? So, you know, how many years does he have left at his peak before he starts to decline? Because let's be honest, his best attribute is his pace. But, you know, it's around about this age where majority of strikers lose the pace. So, you know, is he on the downturn? I mean, I know he's had a mad season. He's still top scorer, but this 3 months off, it can't have done up good for his sharpness.
No.
I'm wondering if he is on the downturn. And I do think Leicester should bring in a new striker anyway, because, you know, even though he did score, I don't think Iheanacho is all that. But yeah, is Vardy on the downturn, or was it just a poor game, do you reckon?
Poor game, I think. Just have a look at who Leicester have got next.
They've got some big games, Leicester, in the race for the top four. I mean, obviously, they've got Chelsea final day, but they've also got... Wait, am I being thick?
We've got Wolves final
day. Oh, no, you've got Wolves final day. No, that I'm getting mixed up. They've got Man United final day. And they've also got Spurs, Sheffield U and Arsenal. So they're going to have to pick up some points in them, especially that final day. You know, Leicester versus Man U and Chelsea versus Wolves, you know, that is going to be mad for the top four. Eh? And Villa and West Ham as well. That final day is going to be mad.
If only we'd won.
Yeah, you'd have been in the driver's seat if you'd have won against West Ham. You know, be on 57 points, you know, 57 points, 5 points clear from Man United, you know. Got games like Watford and Norwich left to play. If you'd have won that, I think you would have easily gotten Champions League. But I mean, you know, I'm not going to be ranting as passionately, I'm sure, as you are. So I'll let you take the wheel for West Ham United 3, Chelsea 2.
Just the best way I can sum up is calamitous defending. West Ham had a very, very harsh goal written off. They were trying to find something for 3.5 minutes, and I think at that point you just got to give it. They found some kind of fault and disallowed it.
Very harsh. I feel like, to be honest with you, if you haven't made a decision within 60 seconds, you know, ideally you'd just say to the refs, "Go and have a look at it." But if the refs aren't going to have a look at it, then just stick with the original decision, because you know fans don't want to have to be waiting 4 minutes for a decision to be made, you know.
Yeah. Then so Chelsea were just given a goal kick. Resulting from that goal kick was Pulisic going in the box, and the lazy leg is left out by
Diop.
Diop brings down Pulisic for a Stonewall penalty, which Willian converts. And then right before half time, just shocking defending. Suchek headers in with a very light header, and I don't know what the hell Rudiger's done on the line. Some fucking breakdancing or something.
Yeah. And I rated Rudiger. I thought he was a good defender. So he had a poor showing today.
Yeah, so we go into the half 1-1. Should be 2-1 to West Ham, in all honesty. Then, second half, Chelsea don't look any better. West Ham come bombing out the gates, and Antonio gives West Ham their deserved lead. From there, Chelsea keep knocking at the door. Declan Rice fouls one of our players, and Willian scores probably the best free kick.
Oh, that was a bit of luck. Beautiful free kick. Right off the inside of the post. That was beautiful free kick. Fabianski, we're never going to...
No. And then... the worst defending I've ever seen from Alonso. You need to be always tracking back. That is like schoolboy stuff. And Antonio finds Yarmolenko, and then the Ukrainian smashes in, and it's too little too late for Chelsea to come back in the game.
Yeah.
And we lose in shocking fashion.
It was awful. It was just awful. That's the only word I can describe that defending from Alonso. You know, just jogging back, you know. 90th minute, but I'm going to jog back, you know, when my team's drawing, you know, and they're on the break. I'm just going to jog back, you know. It's just ridiculous defending there, you know. You should be shot for that. No, I'm joking. Yeah. But they definitely...
You see why I want him out of the team.
Yeah. I mean, when he's in a back five, you know, when he doesn't have to do that much defending, you know, he's not that bad. But, you know, in a back four, it just doesn't work.
He's more of a winger than a left back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
But yeah, Willian, I think he deserves a year extension on his contract. But I'm really sad to see Pedro go. I rated him.
Yeah, he's off to Roma, isn't he?
Yeah. I think it's because they're going to be losing Carlos Perez back to Barca.
Aye. I will say, in terms of positives as well, Pulisic did look really good. He looked really lively. Obviously winning that penalty. Because he has struggled this season. He struggled to adapt to the Premier League, but he's he's looking, especially post restart as well, these games against Man City and West Ham, he has looked lively. He's looked really good.
I wouldn't say he had a bad season. He's played 19 games, 7 goals, 2 assists.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he has been a little bit underwhelming. I mean, 3 of those goals were against us, you know, in one game. Like, and we were god awful. You know, so that is a little bit of stat padding. I don't know. I mean, how much did you pay for him? You paid, like, similar to what Arsenal paid for Pulisic, didn't you? Paid for Pepe, sorry.
We paid 50.
Well, I thought you paid, like, 69 or something for him.
Nah, 50.
Still though, for 50 million, like, he's got the same amount of goals as Jay Rodriguez, you know, who cost 5 million.
Alright.
No, but, like, you know, for 50 million, you are wanting better. Do you know what I mean?
I'd say, anyway. At Dortmund.
The only what?
He wasn't a goal scorer at Dortmund. He scored more than he has in the Premier League in 19 games than he did almost in 52 games for Dortmund.
All right, well, how many assists has he got then?
I can't see that stat. All right, he played 90 games, 13 goals, 18 assists. For Chelsea, 27 games, 8 goals, 6.
I mean, when you say that, like, it's not been bad, really, when you think about it, but, you know.
If he works on his finishing, he'll be up there soon.
Yeah.
He'll make that 50 million look measly.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's only, what, like, 21, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be 22 in September.
Aye, so...
Oh, yeah, the same birthday as my sister.
He's the same birthday as who?
My sister.
Ah, right. I mean, didn't ask, but... I mean, that's about it, really. I mean, is there what else you want to say? Any other football news you want to cover?
AC Milan have signed a young guy from Anderlecht for $3 million. I think it's a bargain.
Alright. Who is it?
I just said Salek Myers.
Salek Myers?
Salamikas.
I would not be able to tell you.
He's Belgian.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'll be good partner to Jeff Hendrick.
He plays right wing.
Go on.
He plays right wing, so I don't think...
Also, in competition for Jeff Hendrick, then.
Then you had Artur going to Juve.
Pjanic going the other way, yeah.
There's a bit of, I don't know, there's a bit of, like, controversy around what the fees are.
Isn't it roughly Pjanic plus 15 for Arta? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. Chelsea got rid of Pjanic. 13.5 million. We only paid, like, 2 million, I think, for him.
Yeah,
that's about it on the transfer.
And congratulations to Northampton as well, getting promotion to League One.
Oh, that was an immense...
Yeah.
I watched that.
I mean, I wasn't watching that because it were on during Palace-Burnley game. But yeah, I mean, they did well to come back against, you know, Michael Duff's Cheltenham Town. 2-0 down in the first leg and came back 3-2. And just thumped Exeter. I mean, obviously, I'd have preferred Cheltenham go up, but, you know, congratulations to Northampton.
Why do you prefer that Cheltenham?
Well, Michael Duff manages him, and he's a Burnley legend. Been there, he's probably the biggest bargain, you know, you can think of. He was there for 13 years, club captain for about 10 years, and he cost, like, I think he cost £40,000.
Christ. I think Messi is, actually.
Well, yeah. But it depends how much under-table stuff went on. I mean, you don't know what happens. I mean, you can't really class coming through academy as a bargain, really.
No, they got him from Newell's Old Boys, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, when he was what, like, an embryo?
He was 15, yeah.
He was 15? I thought he was younger than that. I thought they got him when he was, like, 11. Because he nearly went on loan to Rangers. And so did Iniesta. He nearly went on loan to Rangers.
I didn't know about Messi, though.
Yeah, well, they inquired about Messi, and they said no. And that's when they offered him Iniesta, and they said no. Yeah, it's mad.
Christ.
Anyway.
2003. How old?
Well, he's 32 now, isn't he? So, 17 years ago, 15, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I never said you were. I just said I thought he was younger anyway. I thought it was like 11 or something. Obviously, I was wrong. Anyway, let people know where they can find you, Harry.
Twitter, at HazardChelseaFC.
Yeah. You can follow me at IWGPChrisBFC, and you can follow the podcast at AntiFootballPod. Yeah, that's it. We'll see you whenever.